Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Can We Talk Fridays. I am your host, Raz Williams. Well, I'm coming back from a week off. We had Thanksgiving last week, so we weren't on the show last week, but I'm kind of recovering from a little flu, and praise be to God, by his stripes, I'm healed, so I'm feeling a lot better now, and man, tonight's going to be a good show, guys, and we got the Dream Team back in effect. We have Ronnie, we got Nikki, we got Pam, and we have a new co-host today, too, and it's going to be an exciting show. I just want to thank you guys for really, listening to Can We Talk. I think I checked the stats, and we're up to, 22,000 listeners right now, which is a blessing, and just want to thank you guys for supporting Can We Talk, and we're going to keep coming with the real topics. In fact, we're actually going to be doing some live YouTube videos where you can see, get a chance to see the co-host live and live in effect, so that's going to be really exciting, and we might even do a few live events where we're going to actually invite people to a special location where we can have a forum and really get to, have a mixer, so that's going to be real exciting, and that'll be coming up sometime in the year, so look out for that, guys, and guys, if you we're here every Friday. The number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, check this out, guys. Tonight's show is titled The Condition of Your Heart. What if I told you that I have a heart condition? What would your reaction be? Most likely you would respond with, oh, no, Raz, you okay? Maybe you start feeling sorry for me. But the truth of the matter is that I do have a heart condition, and so do you. We all do. Your heart's condition depends on the things that you allow into your heart. These things form your thoughts and your attitudes and ultimately shape the deepest part of your being. No matter what your circumstances are, if your heart is not right. So, guys, listen to this. I'm sorry. If wrong things in our hearts go unattended, they will become deeply rooted and harder to deal with in our lives. The quicker you can detect a wrong heart condition and get it straightened out, the better off you are. The heart is the master control of the life. A wrong heart always produces a wrong life. A right heart produces a right life. So, guys, to allow sin into our hearts is to pollute our entire lives. God is always examining our lives, and we must always examine them too. So, guys, today's show is titled The Condition of Your Heart. And I want to go ahead and introduce our co-host for this evening. We have Nikki in the building. Nikki, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm fine, Raz. How you doing?
I'm blessed, Nikki. So, Nikki, what do you think of tonight's topic?
Oh, I think it's a good one that, was brought to us by our visiting co-host today, Kristen. I think she's going to be hot. I think she's going to be on fire, and this topic is due.
Absolutely. Nikki, how was your Thanksgiving, by the way?
Oh, it was it was tiring, because I'm a single mom, so I did all the cooking. But, it was good. Food came out bomb, greens on hit, so it was good.
Absolutely. Well, next we have Sister Pam's in the building. How you doing, Pam?
Hi, how's everybody doing? I'm blessed, doing well.
Good, Pam. Good to have you back on Can We Talk. Pam, what do you think of today's topic?
I think it's a good topic. I think it allows people to be transparent. It allows you to experience really what's in the heart of man. You know, he said, out of the abundance of your heart, out of your heart, your mouth speaks. So a lot of times you don't know really where people are, but when they open their mouth, it kind of reveals a lot more of who they really are. So I think it's a good topic.
And, Pam, you had a good Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah. I have no complaints. You know, me and my daughter spent Thanksgiving together. We cooked together in the kitchen, and, you know, we just had a blessed time.
Awesome. Absolutely. Well, next we have, for the very first time on Can We Talk, we have Sister Kristen. Kristen, how you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for asking. Now, Kristen, this is the first time you've been on Can We Talk, and actually this show title was actually your idea, and I wanted to ask you, Kristen, what is your how do you feel about this topic tonight?
Honestly, I believe that it's something that is not addressed enough. I think that in order for you to even have a substantial relationship with God, you have to first examine your heart. It's the first place to begin before you even really move into embodying what it means to be a Christian. You have to have your heart examined.
Absolutely. Next, we have Ronnie Ambrose back in the faith. How you doing, Ronnie?
I'm okay. Glad to be here.
As always. Ronnie, how's your Thanksgiving,
yeah,
bro?
It was all right. You know, I wish it was, I just wish the mindset wasn't to do it once a year, but just to stay connected to family throughout the year. But, you know, hey, I appreciated it.
There you go. Man, have you guys ever had a deep-fried turkey?
Yeah,
I
want to.
Yeah, me too. I heard that's bang. Well, guys, it's time for the news. Ronnie, what we got going on?
Well, I had some technical difficulties, but I will bring up a current event that's been on my mind for a while. As of mid-December, the Dominican Republic has officially revoked the citizenship of the Haitians in their country. And if anyone doesn't know the situation is that there's one island in the Caribbean and two nations are on it. And one of the nations being Haiti, the other nation is the Dominican Republic. And as of mid-December, the Dominican Republic says that they're revoking the citizenship of Haitians that have lived there for decades. People who don't even speak their native language but speak their adopted civilization language. So a lot of people from Haiti moved to Dominican Republic because the working conditions are better, the government's a little more stable, and they've made lives there, but now they're being told that their citizenships are being revoked. And so you have people with businesses, you have people with lineage there that are now being kicked out. And not only is it a legal issue, now it's become a civil issue in the fact that Haitians are being slaughtered that are found in there. Haitians have been leaving by force and, you know, by their own will to avoid being murdered. And this has been going on since mid-December. And, you know, things are happening as we speak, and the condition is real rough out there. It's not getting much coverage, but for whoever might hear this, you can go look it up and see the situation and keep them in prayer. And I just wanted to bring awareness to this because it's sort of a genocide. There's videos out there of people being mutilated. There's people being blamed for things just to start a riot against the Haitians in their country. And it's just, it's really a horrible injustice when you look at the history of the two nations. If anyone doesn't know, Haiti is the second independent nation in the Western Hemisphere after America. In 1804, Haiti took their independence by force. I'm not saying that they built themselves up afterwards, but if it wasn't for the Haitians' revolt, there would be no Dominican Republic. The Haitians wiped or drove out the British and the French and the Spanish off of that island, giving the Dominican Republic their freedom, and, you know, now they're being repaid in a bad way. And so these are people that are actually of the same nation, the same – they went through the same struggle, and one doesn't have a history without the other. And so just the situation, and also if anyone is watching this, not to take any biased stance, because this is just – the work of the enemy, in that he got into their minds through racism. And so racism is a deadly, deadly poison. It affects how you see things. It affects it. Racism will keep you from understanding that there's only one race, the human race. And racism will keep you from understanding that there's only two kinds of people, only saved or unsaved, as far as God is concerned. And so it's just a real ill topic. And for those that don't know about it, investigate it, but investigate it carefully, because some of the images are really, really heartbreaking. So that's the current event that I have. You know, I don't know if I can ask anyone about it, if you guys don't know about it, but it's just another way that the enemy is causing people to destroy God's creation through racism.
Oh, absolutely. And as far as racism is concerned, Ryan, I mean, you know, if you look at Dominicans and Haitians, I mean, they all look the same. I mean, they're all black, you know what I mean? And so I'm kind of it's kind of hard to believe that we were turning each other like that. And but let me ask you this: I mean, being of Haitian heritage, Ronnie, how does that make you? I mean, how is that a painful thing for you to witness? Or
oh yeah, it's horrible. You know, like I said, you know, some of the images that I was looking at, you know, kept me up. You know, and then I had to wrestle through the anger, but then I have to remember we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, this poison called racism is what the enemy is using to blind the minds of those people. Because, like you said, if you see Sammy Sosa, you're looking at a Dominican, and if you see Sammy Sosa, you'd have to be told that he's other than black. And so they're under it, as far as me watching this and receiving that information, yeah, it was tough, because I had to deny my flesh and deny, you know, I couldn't let anger rule how I was watching this thing, because I know that in the end of the day, there's only one nation, there's only one race, the human race, and if they don't know it, I can't allow that to destroy you know, my walk with God. And, you know, there's no reason to harm them. I can't wish them ill. I can only pray that their eyes become open, that they see that there's only one enemy, and that's a spiritual being that fell and created demons a long time ago. So, yeah, it was tough as far as personally. It's tough, people that speak your own language and know the food that you know and the customs, to see them being mistreated that way was horrible.
Absolutely. Does anyone else have a comment about that?
Yeah, that's actually strange that that's going on, considering on the wake of, I haven't heard about it. I haven't been watching the news either, so I don't know if it's on the mainstream news, but, you
no,
know,
it's not.
It's not.
You're going to have to look for it, dig for it. You're not going to find out about that. They're covering that guy Fast and Furious more than this.
And then the weird thing is, what I was saying about that, we're talking about racism and equality, and then Nelson Mandela just passes away. So it's like,
yeah,
him going through all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? You think that we'd be so far along by now, you know, the world in general is what I'm talking about. And you have people, you know, of African descent still tripping on each other.
Absolutely. And, you know, man, people from African descent have been tripping each other for the longest time. I mean, like,
right?
I don't know. It's like, you know, sometimes black people are like dogs. When they see each other, they get angry. I mean, what's up with that? But,
right?
I mean, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. And I didn't know that Nelson Mandela passed away. That's tragic.
You did?
Yeah, he did.
It's been all the news,
right?
I
don't really watch the news, but, yeah, that's tragic, man. That's,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he passed away, like, what, a couple days ago?
Mm-hmm.
And his movie's out, too, right?
I think it is, or it's coming out.
Okay,
yeah. Do you guys remember what Idi Amin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Idi Amin, he was what he did to his own people, too. It was, when you see the movie, it's devastating.
I think, Ronnie, what we're dealing with here is a spirit of, it's definitely a spirit of evil. I'm not sure if I can say racism because, I mean, Dominicans and Cajuns, I mean, Haitians are mixed with French and African, Dominicans are Spanish and African, you know what I mean? We're all black from African descent, so it's more of a tribal thing, if I may say that, but it's definitely a spirit of evil, a spirit of division and disunity and a murderous spirit at that, too.
Yeah, it's evil, man.
Absolutely. Well, I want to read this next article. This is this is titled "Georgia School Confiscates Christmas Cards," and it's not as serious as what we just read, but I want to read it anyhow. And it says that teachers at Brooklyn Elementary School in Georgia they had posted Christmas cards in the hallways outside their classrooms on Monday. When boys and girls returned from Thanksgiving break, they discovered that the teachers' Christmas cards had been removed under orders from the Georgia Schools Administration. Now, Rob Kicklighter's wife is a third-grade teacher at the school. He said many teachers are disgruntled by the school's decision to confiscate the Christmas cards. They took down the cards so that kids can't see them. Some of the cards had the words Christmas and some had nativity scenes on them. So Kicklighter said the cards were put behind an office door so only teachers could access them. And so the main reason why they took these cards down is because it was about censorship, and that was from orders from the Bullock County Board of Education, who is cracking down on religious expression in the schools. Teachers have been ordered to remove any religious icons or items from their classrooms, ranging from Bibles to Christian music. Teachers have also been instructed to avoid student-led prayers at all costs. Should they be in a room where students are praying, teachers have been ordered to turn their backs on their students. This is a blatant attack on Christianity, and I wanted to pass this around to the panel and get your thoughts, and starting with Nikki.
Once again, now here we are. We're right back to what we've been talking about for the last few months. You know, it's that Luciferian act, and it's just like, you know, they're trying to take Christ out of everything. I mean, they've gone so far as years ago to, instead of saying Christmas, they're using the X, you know what I mean? And a lot of believers, they fall into that too, you know. And I don't think they know, you know, consciously, you know, you just do what the world does. But it's like I've said before, not only do we need to humble ourselves and pray like the word says, but believers got to stand up and say something. We're not saying anything. We're just sitting back watching it happen and, you know, just shaking our head and saying we're going to pray about it. But, you know, it's time for us to take some type of action. It's like, how far are we going to allow this stuff to go and we just sit back and say nothing?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, Kristen, what do you think about this article?
I honestly agree with Nikki. I think one of the problems is, honestly, I'm not very surprised. I think, like Nikki said, is that the article, unfortunately, is not all the way true. They do, in fact, allow other religions to have demonstrations of their religion. However, people are intimidated by Jesus. I think as Christians, we need to understand that that's supposed to happen. But I think what's not happening enough, instead of people putting on a card on the outside of the door, they're not putting Christ on. And those children should have been not so much appalled that they took them down, but more so I'm happy to know that they noticed that it was down. So it did have some impact. It may not have had the impact that the teachers would have liked to happen, but it was noticed that Christ was removed. Amen?
Absolutely. And Pam, same question to you.
I think as we get closer to the end times, it just goes to show that, you know, Satan's trying to magnify his plan and, you know, to get people to discredit Christ, and it's attack on Christianity, it's attack on Christ. I was just noticing how the Grinch seems to be a big character now around Christmas time, and if you really look at it, it's, you know, it doesn't make sense. A Grinch. You know, it, to me, it's just like the devil is trying to magnify himself in every aspect of movie, television, music, and everything in any way he can by moving Christ right out of the picture. and he's been doing it for centuries. And in some of the minds of some people, he seems to be succeeding well because people are just really ignorant of what Christmas is all about. They're losing sight of what it's about, you know. And little kids don't know. It's up to the parents, it's up to adults to teach them that it's more than just a toy. But, you know, again, that's the generations that we're seeing, you know. It's starting to be more about gifts and giving and stuff like that, but not in the right spirit. You know, Christ is not being magnified and glorified in the whole season.
Absolutely. And Ronnie, did you have anything to say about this article?
Well, you know, I agree with most of the panel. I agree that it's a show of the condition of society, you know, just to target Christianity or something that represents Christ with the nativity and things of that nature. It's not surprising, you know, and I'm glad you brought it up just to let people who might be listening know that the attack is not against freedom of religion. The attack is not against religion or people who follow religion. The attack is against those that follow Christ. And so, no, that's the atmosphere that we're in, and not to be afraid, because these are the times where you can trust in God and go forward. But just as Nikki said, we have to be more active. I'm not saying annoying, and I'm not saying in protest. Just be more active in your everyday life, showing that you belong to the Father. Be active in your everyday life, like all the time, showing that you acknowledge the fact that the shed blood on the cross is the only way to eternal life, and there's not many ways to God, but only one way to God, and you know that one way to God is the Son of God who died for us all. If we could be more active every day of the year instead of just one day of the year or one season of the year, we would be able to break down a lot of strongholds or walls that are keeping people blinded from the truth, because a lot of people are just going with the flow. And, you know, unfortunately, some of us as believers aren't coming off as strong as we should. And I'm not saying get kicked out of school and get kicked out of your job. I'm just saying make a conscious effort every single day in everything that you do to reflect the fact that you know the way to eternal life, and you're willing to share that. But it's just, as far as that article, it just shows the time that we're in, that there is an attack on the truth, and, you know, this is the atmosphere that we're in. Just be prepared, you know, keep your armor on, but definitely be more active and be more effective as a believer.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about one more article that actually, Ronnie, you and I had a lot of conversations about this at these past recent days, and we're actually going to be doing a show about this in the near future, where we were talking about the corruption in the prison systems, in these private prison systems, and what they're doing. They're bribing and paying off of judges. They're guaranteeing the states to have certain numbers of prisons populated to full capacity, and they're using these prisoners as cheap labor, and they even have them, you know, they even have these prisoners as derivatives on the stock exchange, where they're counted as numbers, and they use as a tool of financial gain. And we know that a lot of judges have been bribed, and the good judges that have been, who have actually stood against this, have been gotten rid of. And so it's a very serious situation, and it's another reason why we really need to pray for, you know, this nation, and pray for the forces of evil that are, because this, you know, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, and anything in this world, any system, including the legal system, the prison systems, the political system, is all under his control, and it's completely ratchet. So, Ronnie, what do you think about what we were talking about?
Well, no, it's definitely a trap, and the thing that makes it ineffective, even with all the money and the resources and the facilities and the workers that we have, the thing that they don't have is the spirit of the living God. There is no restoration apart from Christ. There is no rehabilitation apart from Christ. And so the thing is, this system or this machine with all its features is missing the only thing that could actually solve a problem. And so since it belongs to society, it can't be effective at helping the people who do have a problem, because the problem that they have is a spiritual problem for the most part. And so since it can't do that effectively, it'll go to the next best thing, which is be a financial benefit to those that work the facilities and work in the courtrooms and work as transportation. And so the deal is that the county gets its money from the state and the state gets its money from the government. And the way that it stays, the way that a county is able to qualify for loans or grants or budget for the year is to show that they have a need, to show that they have a need for transportation, because we have to take people to court back and forth, to show the need for more officers because our facilities are full, and to show the need for more facilities, they have to take advantage of young people who don't know their rights when they go to court. They have to take advantage of neighborhoods and pick on or profile certain people to fill up their quotas. Just like if you notice, I don't know if it's just my area, but between the it's a cash cow, meaning in my area, between the last week of the month and the first week of the month, you see all the patrol officers out in full force getting tickets. You see people being pulled over. During the rest of the month, they aren't as active, but it's to keep the quota. They come out, you know, in full force, and so it's just the way that they can show that they're bringing the numbers, that there's a need for them to even have a job. And so it's not that I blame the officers, because they have families they need to feed and things of that nature, but it's the system that they work for that perpetuates injustice for the sake of the right numbers that will bring in the right budget for the next year. And it's society, young people that pay, you know, whether it be black, white, or whatever. You go into the system, you get pulled over, you don't know your rights, and they need you to not know what's going on so that they can make money off of housing you, clothing you, feeding you, transporting you from court, you know. And so these people want their jobs, and so they turn cold to you know, actually trying to help a person. They need us or whoever to go into these facilities so that they can have a job. So they prey on the weak.
Wow. Anyone else have a comment about that?
Yeah, I do. Being former law enforcement, being a former probation officer, that's almost absolutely true, what Ronnie was saying. That's another reason why they offer people deals and stuff like that. I just watched the situation happen where this young man was involved in something, but he really was innocent. The judge thought so, his public defender thought so, and the district attorney also thought so. And they were planning on throwing the case out. Well, because he didn't have direct counsel with his mother, they made sure he stayed, you know, separated from his mother. They fed him the fear of the first time being locked up. They fed him the fear of, you know, if you don't take this deal, although it's something that you didn't do, if you don't take this deal, then we're not going to let you out on house arrest and probation and all that. And so he was afraid, so he took the deal. Well, that whole setup, you know, and they tell him, well, you know, when you turn 18 years old, you know, your file can be sealed and blah, blah, blah. But all that did was it created a situation to where if between his age now and 18 years old, he gets into any trouble, although he was innocent of that situation, now you're set up to where you can go into the system, and because we don't care that you really didn't do it, you pled out to it. So all law enforcement is going to look at it as you having a criminal record, because now you do have one, which one of them was a felony. So it's all a perpetuated setup to constantly feed the prison system so that money can keep coming in. I mean, that's how the rich stay, that type of rich, stay richer.
Absolutely, and it's definitely corrupt. Pam, do you have anything to say about that?
No comment at this time.
Well, guys, listen, we're talking about the condition of your heart. The number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. You can almost always email us at canwetalkradio, the number one, at gmail.com. Well, I want to go ahead with the show, and one of the questions I want to pass around to the panel is, why does the heart matter to God? And I want to first start with Kristen.
Because out of the heart flows all the issues of your life. It sets your discourse. It gives direction, positive and negative. So it steers your life.
Now, Kristen, when you say out of the heart flows the issues of life, can you be a little bit more explanatory? What are these issues?
These issues can be, for example, issues of poverty, issues of lust, masturbation. They can be issues of lying. It could be issues of various things, and they all can be embedded in your heart. So it's not just enough for you to go to church and come home, but it's in order for you to really get past these things, you have to allow God to really cleanse and, you know, promulgate your heart to be able to be healed and really be delivered from the cycle that we at times are in.
Absolutely. Nikki, same question to you.
Well, because like we all know that the scripture, and Pam just mentioned it in her opening, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so your heart basically holds, well, literally our heart has chambers. But spiritually what we're talking about is our heart has certain chambers, and sometimes in those chambers, we have secret places and things that we've hidden that we don't even realize is still there. And so until we surrender our whole heart, our whole self to God, it's almost impossible to move the way that He wants us to move without stumbling blocks, without getting caught up, without, you know, sometimes we have problems and we don't even understand where they're coming from until God Himself reveals our heart to us. And then once we're ready to, you know, acknowledge it and give it all over to Him and be set free from these different chambers that we've hidden from even from ourselves, that's the only way that we can move forward. And so our heart matters to God because of that. He sees the secret places that we've even forgotten about.
Absolutely. And notice that the scripture in Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, excuse me, for it determines the course of your life. But notice that it doesn't say somebody else will guard your heart. It doesn't say God will guard your heart. It says you must guard your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask this to the panel, and my question is this. How does a heart play in our lives as it pertains to our relationship with God? And that first starts with Pam.
I think we need to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. I think that we need to understand that God called us out of darkness. We need to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God because there are so many others that need to know the love of God. And when we're sensitive to God, when we start to recapture the spirit of humility, then we can allow other people to come and know, okay? Because a lot of people out there are distancing themselves from God just as we did once we were out there and unsaved. But once we came into the knowledge, once God came into our hearts and started to change us and we started to renew our minds and we started to see that Christ had a better lifestyle for us, I believe that through our life now we can be sensitive to help others come. And I just think that now we can be the vessels for which other people can come into the kingdom, because a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the let's just say eternity, you know, they're not really focusing on any of that kind of stuff. They're focusing on the here and the now, just living day to day, and they don't see the seriousness of the gospel and why it needs to be preached and why they need to choose this day who they're going to serve. Because in the long run, I mean, if you think about it, You know, most people don't prepare themselves for death. You know, a lot of people just die and they figure, okay, somebody's going to handle it. But, you know, salvation is a gift. It's free, but a lot of people don't prepare for eternity. And so I just think that we need to really be more sensitive to the Spirit of God and allow him to continue to help us to grow in the Word so that we can be a light and a vessel for all many others, you know, into the kingdom, because it's just a serious time right now. A lot of people are asleep. They're not, they're just not in tune to what's going on around them. You know, they're getting caught up in, you know, just, you know, whatever the world is telling them to do, whatever they see on TV, that's what people want to do. They want to mimic what they see. And it's going to take strong people that are in the world. That's why it's so important that we stay in the Word so that we can hear the heart of God. I think about how Daniel was when he was praying, when he went before the Lord. I mean, he was a faithful man of God, but when he went before the Lord, he didn't go to the Lord as to say that the people of Israel did all this stuff, you know, to just overlook it, because once they started turning to pagan rulers and heathen kingdoms and things like that, Daniel cried out to the Lord on their behalf to say, hey, you know, yeah, we've done wrong. Yeah, we've sinned before you. But he was trying to go before God to say, hey, you know, okay, you know, let's be delivered from the 7 years or 10 years of grief that they had to go through because of all the stuff that they did. But he poured his heart out to God, and that's where we need to get. We need to be in that place where we're constantly, daily, you know, I just feel in my spirit to wake up praising God, to wake up talking to him, to talk to him, constantly keep him on my mind. Even when I get to work and I'm still having to work, I'm still cognizant, okay, even if I go in the bathroom, okay, that's some time that I can, you know, talk to the Lord or you know, just pour out to him, you know, so that he can pour back into us, because he'll make us more sensitive of the things that we need to pray for or who we need to intercede for. So I just think that we just need to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point. Well, guys, listen, I mean, pretty much you're in charge of guarding your heart. And realize that it's a pretty much a full-time job, because we don't know on any given day what's going to come up. We don't know what somebody may say to you that may hurt you. Somebody may disappoint you, let you down. And that could create a wound in your heart, and that needs to be dealt with. So it's very important that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. So you have to constantly be working with the Holy Spirit to keep your heart right. And I believe that's the most important thing. And I want to ask Kristen, how important do you feel that the Holy Spirit is as far as assisting you to keep your heart in the right place?
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to ask me the other question. The Holy Spirit definitely plays a part in it, but I think the biggest thing with the Holy Spirit and even the guarding of your heart is something that wasn't really tapped upon, is listening. I always tell people, you can't believe in God, something you don't trust. If I don't trust in the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to listen to his instruction. And the one thing is, a lot of times we say we trust God, but yet still everything that we do contradicts the very essence of what Jesus did. He did only what the Father did. Can we all say that we do that? Most times the answer is no. So, yes, the Holy Spirit plays a part, but something that I think that I've been noticing, and even when you just mentioned above, is about a minute ago, about you guarding your heart. The Holy Spirit is always available, but you have to be willing to want to allow him, in fact, to help you guard it. And something that I was mentioning to a mentee that I'm mentoring is that, if in order for him to guard my heart, I have to make better decisions. And I have to, for example, if I say I don't want to have sex, but I'm always laying up in a bed with somebody, am I really allowing him to guard my decisions? Am I really allowing him to protect me? The answer is no, because, in fact, my actions are contradicting the very thing that I'm asking him to do. So in essence, I believe that, Raz, you have to learn first to listen to God and also to begin to trust him with, as Ms. Nikki said, the very being, the very chambers of your heart. So I think the Holy Spirit is relevant always, you know, but you have to have an ear to be willing to listen to his instruction and also have a heart, or even recognizing that the problem a lot of times is yourself that's actually getting in the way from you not really heeding to what he's telling you to do.
Absolutely. We have a caller from the 909-883 area code. And hello, caller, how you doing? Do you have a question or comment for the panel tonight? Caller from the 909 area code, 883. All right, I guess they're just listening in. That's a very good point, Kristen. And I want to go on to another point. And I believe that one of the biggest revelations that I personally have noticed that I received from God is that, you know, like, that, you know, life is life can be one of the biggest challenges that we, in this side of eternity. However, you know, life is not your circumstances. The kind of house you live in, the kind of job you have, or how much money you have, you can have the best of these things but still be miserable. On the other hand, it's amazing how happy and peaceful you can be in the middle of the lousiest circumstances in life, amongst a lot of turmoil. But if your heart's in the right condition, life can be beautiful. Nikki, what do you think about my comment?
I think that's absolutely right, because, you know, once again, when we go back to talking about the Holy Spirit, once you've developed a relationship with the Lord and allowed the Holy Spirit to come in, he is a comforter. At least that's what God tells us in his word. And so, therefore, what does comfort bring? Comfort brings peace. So regardless of what the situation is, if the Holy Spirit is leading and you've surrendered your heart to the best of your ability to the Lord, then regardless of what the circumstance is, you're going to have a form of peace. Now, do we hold on to that peace all the time? No, we don't. Do we lay it down a lot of times because the circumstances seem to be overwhelming? We do. But in the midst of that, we need to remind ourselves when it starts getting overwhelming, let's lay that back down at the cross and let the Holy Spirit do his job, because worrying doesn't do anything but create more of a situation, and you worrying about it is not going to make it any better. But Paul even said that he had become content in all situations, and it's like that takes really surrendering your heart to the Lord to even know how to have that type of discipline. So I definitely understand that a lot of times, you know, we're in these crazy situations, and it's like, you know, God, what do I do? And at that time, you just have to let the Holy Spirit do what his job is. But a lot of people don't know how to do that, because do they really believe? A lot of people say that they believe. I believe in the Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Trinity. But do they really? Because it's like you say it, it's lip service, but your actions, like Kristen was saying earlier, is completely different from, you know, what you're confessing out of your mouth. And without faith, what it is faith. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, you have to have faith that the Holy Spirit even exists to allow him to come in to be your comforter, to give you that peace.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point, Nikki. I want to talk about briefly, how does the heart get corrupted, especially in believers? I mean, you know, you go to churches and, you know, Nikki, we've had conversations about this. Pam, we've had conversations about this. And, being women and talking to Christian men, you notice that not all of them are professing to be, you know, Christians by what comes out of their heart, out of their mouth, in abundance and vice versa. And, you know, it just seems that a lot of believers and non-believers like have a lot of issues from childhood, and it all plays out in the way they live. You know, they live their lives. So, how does the heart get corrupted, and how can we, more importantly, how can we really, on your laptop or computer, you will disinfect your files. How do we disinfect our heart? How do we get our heart right so we can start living a life that's pleasing before the Lord, and a life that really brings us the right things, the things that God wants us to have and experience. So my first question is going to be, you know, throughout the panel, I want to first start with Kristen.
Well, honestly, as How the Heart Gets Corrupted, first and foremost, as it talks about, the Bible speaks of our ear gates, our eye gates, and even our mouth gates. We have to understand that, as I tell people sometimes, that everything that you do gives worship. From you spending time at your job as a form of, it can actually be a form of worship because you're giving time to this project. You're giving your energy towards a thing. And I think that a lot of times how we get corrupted, our heart gets corrupted, is when we are not examining the motivation behind what it is we desire. And even so, what it is that how we're going about to get a thing. For example, I'll bring up myself. I used to actually, when I was having sex, before I would have sex, I would actually pray. I know people laugh at me when I say that. I used to say, God, you know, I pray that you make it happen, you know. And unfortunately, I know now as a much more mature Christian that in fact was stemmed because a lot of the movies or even the songs that I would listen to made me believe that if I didn't give it up, that in fact the man would not want me. So I had to begin to see that my ear gates were beginning to affect my heart. Another example for myself, with my eye gates, I know a lot of us, hey, all listeners, how y'all doing? We've watched porn. I used to actually love to watch Cat House, a form of pornography that's on HBO. And I used to watch it, as I would say, to get knowledge on how to make it right when I got married. But unfortunately, as the Holy Spirit had to teach me, he was nowhere in that. So I allowed lust to begin to become a part of my heart and my lifestyle based on what I was watching. And then again, also next, we got what we speak, talking late at night to Christian men, you know, about how we want to lay it down and what we want. So there's so many different ways that we go about to make things happen. Even the comments that we make, for example, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Why would God ever want you to rob something to take care of something else? We have to be careful what we speak. We have to be careful what we watch, and we have to be careful what we hear. Prime example, you telling people about a vision and someone telling you that it never happened. You know, so it's just all about guarding your ear gates, your eye gates, and even your mouth gate.
Absolutely, that's an awesome point. I want to refer to Romans as you were talking, Christian. What came to my mind was scripture of Romans 6:19, and it says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." So,
yeah.
In other words, whoever you yield your members to, that's who slave you become or servant you become. Nikki, same question to you.
How does the heart get corrupted? It's exactly what she said. It's about what you put before your eyes, what you put you listen to, the company that you keep. If it's all wrong, then there's the corruption. I mean, I believe it's what it's almost like out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But I think it's in Matthew, I want to say 6:21, how you basically can tell a person's heart. I believe it says, if it's 6:21, I'm almost positive, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Yeah.
So where a person spends their time, she mentioned work, whether it's a relationship, if it's anything other than what God is telling you to do, and God is having you, you know, do, then you know that it's corrupt and that it's wrong. It has potential to it's actually become an idol. And so anytime we have something that we put before what God is calling us to do or having us to do, first of all, there's the corruption, and then, like she said, we're worshiping that thing. Now we have to figure out and break it down as to where did it come from? Why is it there? And do we want to let it go? When we're addicted to something, whether it be pornography, sex, alcohol, drugs, or even another person, a lot of times we don't want to let that thing go. So the corruption inside, it just festers and it festers. And once again, you know, we have different chambers of the heart. So it's like we show one face, but in that secret time, in that secret place, then we pull that thing out when we're by ourselves instead of surrendering it to God. So, yeah, I agree with Kristen with what she said, that how the heart gets corrupted by what you allow to enter in.
Wow. Pam, do you have any comments about that?
Well, it seems like they covered most of it. I guess we're just not supposed to put any other gods before God Almighty. You know, it goes back to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And, you know, whatever you expose yourself to is what you're going to become. Whoever you hang around, you know, if people say, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So it boils down to the company you keep, the things that you take in the most. If you're taking in the Word of God on a regular basis, then you can start to discern things better and you'll know where to weed out and cut things out. But if you're taking in more of the worldly things, then it's going to appease your flesh and you're going to find yourself being pulled further away from God. So they covered it.
Absolutely.
Brad, can I say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay, I did want to say also, I noticed that sometimes we will also mention about going to church and these things, but I did want to say, even with those things, understand that God prefers for us to have balance. For example, if I'm always at church, you know, trying to bring in spending time with God, but I neglect to do my natural things like taking care of my bills, making sure my house is clean or keeping things in order, there's always an order to the Word of God. You know, God says, you know, give unto Caesar what's due Caesar. Don't come up here, you know, trying to sham yam yam when it comes to paying your rent, you know. So there's still a balance that needs to be cultivated in the things that we do. Don't be so much around godly people that even if a sinner comes around, you know, you can't even have a kind word without it beating somebody over the head with the Word of God. So I did want to say that too, because I know sometimes we think I'm just going to be around Christians, that's it. But I don't think that's really what God meant. I just think that he meant for us to be mindful of what it is you're taking in and ingesting in your life, because those are the things that, again, can discord, you know, stir off your discourse. But if we look at Jesus' life, he pretty much talked to everyone. You know, he didn't hang out with everybody, but he did, in fact, talk to people. So I did want to, you know, sorry for interjecting, but I did want to say that.
No, absolutely. That's an awesome point. You know, taking the time to keep your heart pure is similar to cleaning out your basement or attic. Once you turn the lights on, start looking around in there, don't be surprised to find out some things you didn't expect to see. And, you know, Jesus Christ said it best in Matthew 5:28. He said some pretty strong things about the heart. And I want to talk about real quick about how certain negative elements can affect the heart. And Christ said that if you see a woman and lust after her, then you have already committed adultery as far as your heart is concerned. And that, to me, is very, very powerful, especially being a man of God. You know, lust has a tremendous effect on the heart, which is why we must guard our heart against the spirit of lust. And you have pornography, you have strip clubs, you have all these things, even women dressing a certain way that really is, you know, makes it harder for a Christian man or men, period, to you know, this world is pretty much over-sexualized. So it has an effect on our heart, and lust is a very big thing with men and women. And Nikki, how do you believe lust really corrupts the heart, and what can we do to guard against lust?
It's just the same thing. We have to watch. First of all, we have to crucify our flesh daily, because lust isn't just sexual. Lust is a lot of things. I mean, that's where it opens up for addiction. Lust is basically wanting our own way, and lust goes hand in hand with anger, you know. So we guard against it by crucifying our flesh, and you know me, you know, I always say, and how we crucify our flesh and stay trained that way is by spending that time, that devotional time with God, not those 5, 2, 3 minute, you know, flybys while I'm jumping in my car, going to the grocery store or on my way to work, but actually getting up earlier than what you set your alarm clock for. Instead of hitting the snooze, you're getting up and spending an hour or more with the Father, you know. And sometimes, you know, even with that, we're still going to have, you know, we're still going to wrestle with things throughout the day. But at least you have a good shot at conquering it, you know, like in Genesis, how God told Cain, you know, sin crouches at the door, but you can overcome it, you know. And so it's up to us to overcome it, overcome the lust, the sin, the anger, you know, and to guard our hearts from it. But with lust comes many a thing, and you just have to be cognizant of it. And a lot of times what we do is, you know, we try to play certain things down, like, well, it's not that bad, you know, and then that thing grows into, you know, it just comes with discipline. And in order to crucify your flesh, you have to have discipline and deny yourself the things that your flesh wants so bad. Anything that comes before God, we evidently don't need it. So it's about crucifying your flesh.
Absolutely. We have a caller from the 909-358 area code. Hello, caller. How you doing? Do you have a question or comment for the panel? Hello, caller. You there? All right. This listing is okay. All right, Pam. Same question to you. How do you feel about what do you feel about lust? And actually, I want to before you answer that question, I want to talk about hatred. And hatred, just like lust, is definitely a negative spirit that can affect the issues of our lives concerning our heart. And Proverbs. Let me see here. Let me check. Make sure I have the right scripture here. Give me 1 second. I believe it's James 4:2, where it talks about if you hate your brother, it's no different than if you've murdered him. And to me, that says that we must really raise a shield up to keep our hearts pure, to prevent any kind of damage. And you know, it reminds me of Cain and Abel, how Cain Cain killed Abel, or the other way around, I forget. But you know, it's hatred is something that can really rise up in our hearts. Pam, what's your comment about we talked about lust, we're talking about now hatred. What is your comment about how that can affect the heart?
Well, I think for me, my personal experience with having to guard my heart came through learning about, you know, people that were saved or supposed to be saved versus, you know, still dealing with people that are not saved. And I found that a lot of times you expect the people that say they love the Lord or that are called into, you know, be a witness for Christ will have more love in their heart toward you than most people that have not received Christ into their hearts. And I've had to learn how to guard my heart through a lot of prayer, through just, spending time, you know, speaking positive things to myself, getting around positive people, because I found that it wasn't just dealing with the opposite sex, you know, where I've had to guard my heart from people that wanted to come in and take advantage. I had to actually guard my heart from women on the job, women at the church. I had to learn how to guard my heart, because when people start to attack you for reasons that you don't know, you kind of could get an idea, but when it all boils down to why they're attacking me, why they're persecuting me, a lot of times you got to look at what's in their heart. And a lot of times people attack you because there's, you know, jealousy in their heart. There's whatever they have in their heart, they could be lashing it out at you. And so I've had to learn how to guard my heart from those type of attacks, okay? And it's really been a struggle because, well, I won't say it's a struggle now, but when I first came into the church, I could not understand. I said, wow, when I was going through school, I went through a lot of this stuff. But once I came into the church and I started going through it, I really expected something different. And when I saw that it wasn't any different, I had to really learn how to lean on the Holy Spirit, because I knew that He would be a comfort to me. And that's what really got me through, was learning how to lean on the Holy Spirit, learning how to allow Him to comfort me, confessing the word to myself, encouraging myself, getting around positive people. Because if I didn't learn how to do that, you know, in other words, you know how they say we have a form of godliness, we deny the power. Well, I had to learn how to get power. I had to learn how to take authority over those devices that were coming at me to try to discourage me and keep me from my destiny and keep me from my walk with God. That's what got me to grow stronger. Even dealing with people that were not saved, I still was able to balance my life out with learning how to discern those people that really had a sincere love for me versus the people who were just really trying to pull me down. And so if I didn't grow in God and learn how to guard my heart, then what happens is you start to carry resentment in your heart toward those that have hurt you. But when you learn to walk and look at not just the person, because a lot of times if you look at the spirit that's operating in the person, then you can kind of start to understand what you're dealing with. And so I had to learn how to get my heart in a place where it was all about pleasing God. It was all about trying to do the right thing, even though sometimes I still, that those thoughts will still come to my mind. This person, I know this person don't like me, and I know they're mistreating me for a reason. But like I've heard, a new level, you have a new devil. So, you know, it just taught me how to be stronger in God. It taught me to be more of a soldier mind, you know, like they say, be a soldier for the army of the Lord. It taught me how to be stronger and to really fight the good fight of faith and to the end, you know. So my heart has to I have to constantly put my heart before the Lord and ask him to lead me and guide me so that I don't respond the wrong way, but take authority and respond in a way to let the devil know, because the devil will speak through people, to let the devil know you don't have nothing going here. And you got to plead the blood of Jesus on you daily when you're dealing with saved folk and unsaved folk. Because even when the unsaved folk are saying things to you or the saved folk are saying things to you, you got to allow the anointing to flow through you so that you can still show that person love and still see that person's soul. That person's soul needs to be won over through love. So it's been a walk. But I tell you, it's just been a blessing to know now that when I see those things operating in people, I know exactly what to do now. I know how to guard my heart. I know how to build myself up in my faith to know that I'm not going to let that spirit tear me down. And it's just really sad that some people are just on different levels and just not really walking in that power. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He really, truly is.
And you made a good point, Pam, but the issue is that a lot of Christians today are not looking no different from the world, because the reason why, because they haven't submitted their hearts to God. Now, you, Nikki, Pam, Kristen, you both have mentioned some powerful points as far as, you know, submitting your heart to the leading of the Holy Spirit, which I believe is very, very important. But how do we prevent further heart damage? Because that's the reason why many Christians today are not living the lives that God has really called us to live, because of the fact that we're not really capturing our thoughts. We're not protecting our heart. We're not meditating on scriptures. We're not praying. We're not doing the things that we needed to do. It's a daily struggle. So, Nikki, how do we prevent further heart damage? And not only that, why are Christians looking no different from the Word?
I didn't hear the last part that you said, Raz.
Why are Christians looking no different from the world?
Because the relationship with the Father, and even sometimes with the relationship with God, we, like I said, we still step away and we still, you know, get caught up in flesh. The Bible says that as long as we're here on this earth, we're going to endure trials and tribulations. And I think some things, extra things we bring up on ourselves, but just like as a parent, you try to teach your kids, but you can't protect them from everything. So it comes with maturity and growth in the Lord and letting the Holy Spirit guide you and your actions. And, you know, submerging yourself in the Word, which can help you from further heart damage. And the reason why believers don't most believers don't look any different from the world is because, like I said before on previous shows, is because of the discipleship. They come in and they become converts, but they don't become discipled. You know, there's a difference with just saying, okay, God, you know, Jesus come into my heart, you know, the whole sinner's prayer thing, but then they still live a life, you know, like the rest of the world. I mean, the Bible says, be ye transformed. It comes from renewing of the mind. And so if your mind is not renewed, if you're not being transformed, if you're not coming out from among them, that does not mean that, you know, you don't engage with sinners, because some sinners, you're going to be the only Jesus that they know. But you don't do the things that they do. You need to be a light, but you have to come out from among them. It's like, you know, in order for me to minister, I don't need to go to the strip club with my homegirls. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to have my good evil spoken of. And so when we set ourselves up where we're still doing the things that the world is doing, that's where further heartbreak comes. That's where we keep missing the mark. That's where we keep making the same mistakes, because our mind hasn't been renewed yet. And once again, all that takes, that takes discipline, that takes being in your word, not just reading your word, but studying your word, knowing what God really meant when he said the things that he said, you know. And that takes time, that takes maturity, that takes discipline. Because, man, when I first really got saved and gave my life to the Lord, I would try to sit down and read the Bible, and I would get sleepy. I can read anything else front to back, no problem, but any time I would sit down to read the word, I would get tired, no matter what time of day it was. So it all comes from, you know, you really having a hunger for it, your prayer life, your walk, and all that. So, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, being transformed, the renewing of your mind, and that devotional time with the Father.
Absolutely. Kristen, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I love it. But I believe one of the biggest issues when it comes to that is secrecy. I think the devil thrives on secrecy. I know I grew up in church. I actually came to Christ when I was 3 years old. I told them that I'd rather go to hell because it seemed like heaven had too many rules. I know too many Christians that know how to put a face. If you don't have someone that you're accountable to, I mean really accountable to, you are going to live your life and allow things to happen no matter what. You will go to church, you will shout, and the devils will still be on you. The second thing that you need to have, be delivered. Now, I don't care what anybody has to say. I believe that Christians can have demons. Why? Because if you've been dealing with the same thing over and over and over again, you need to be delivered. A demon can, in fact, be in the body. It's not in the soul that it's after. It is after the soul, but the soul belongs to God. So a lot of times, if you don't have someone that you're able to talk to about these things that you're struggling with, and you don't have someone that you actually can go to a house where you can be delivered and even brought forth from these cycles, you're going to continue to do what you do. I mean, like I said, I grew up in church, so I know how to shout. I know how to, oh, hallelujah. I know how to fake it and shake it. But it wasn't until I really began to, and this was according to Galatians 5 and 18, recognizing that you have to be led by the Spirit. There are always spirits that are leading you. Why would God talk about different spirits if people don't deal with them? Why would he be casting out spirits in the synagogue? Why would he say that deliverance is the children's, you know, the righteous are for the righteous? Because you need to get these things taken out of you. And then the last thing I would say is, as Christians, in order to keep this stuff out of our heart, we got to stop being envious of sin. You know, it talks about, now therefore, according to Galatians 6 and 9, you know, don't get weary in doing good things. How many times have I said, my friend is having sex and she's getting blessed, God, how come I'm not being blessed? We got to stop thinking that sin is attractive. Watching scandal, looking at the smut, doing all that stuff about propagating things that God is not into. If God is not into it, we got to stop being into it. And that's the only way that it's not going to be in your heart.
Wow. Absolutely. Pam, how do you? What do you? Kristen mentioned a good point, and I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask it to the panel real quick. What do you feel about how can a Christian be demon possessed or have be oppressed by? I believe we can be oppressed by demons. I'm not sure if we can be possessed by demons. Kristen, did I get? Did I understand that right? You mentioned that.
Yeah.
Well, you can be.
Well, it
looks
like
saying we saying we can be possessed by demons? Is that what you're saying, Kristen?
Oh, yes. I've cast out many demons out of Christians. So, yes, you can be. I've had
I don't know if I agree with demon possession. I believe in I say demon oppression when you are a Christian because darkness can't dwell where light is. And I have cast demons out, too. But there's a difference with possession possession and being oppressed by, and you're absolutely right about being set free and all that. But that's where the scripture comes in, that when you backslide, that's when seven demons worse come. So if they're demon possessed, they're not saved. They've backslidden. But you can be oppressed.
But it doesn't mean you're not saved, though.
If you backslide,
but it doesn't mean you're not saved.
If you backslide, you aren't saved because you've walked away.
So if I backslide, I'm not saved?
No. If you backslide and Jesus came back, you think you're going to make it to heaven?
Yeah.
Because you believe once saved, always saved? Because Revelation
No, I don't. No. I don't believe that. But what I'm saying is, for example, because this is the thing. If God says only he knows the heart, if I, before I die, told the Lord I apologize for everything I did wrong, he is sure and just to forgive me. The reason
right,
why
so
I
you're
say,
not in a backslidden condition if you do that.
But
what
I'm saying is I think sometimes we spend too much time, Ms. Nikki, trying to judge where a person is. If you're dealing with devils, period or not, point blank, whether you're saved or not, if you are a Christian, why in the Bible would Jesus be casting out devils in synagogues? Everyone there that was getting things casted out, did he say they were saved or not? That's up to interpretation.
But at the time, though, when Jesus was casting demons out of people, they were not saved. He had not died on the cross yet. So at right. that point, after he died on the cross, he died and went to heaven, and the disciples carried on his ministry. Once they were saved, I don't believe that they could be demon possessed. I know after they were demons were cast out, they received salvation. Yes, but I believe that demons can torment the mind of a believer and cause them, because it's the mind contains the soul, which contains your will, emotions, your where you make your decisions. So if a demon can oppress you in that area, then that will just like your heart, it will cause you to go in a certain direction. What do you think about my comment?
It's so funny. I like when you say that. The main thing is I just think at the same time, I don't agree with you guys. I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from, but I think that oppressed, possessed, whatever, you need to be delivered. And at the end of the day, if the person is dealing with something that clearly is not like God, the pastor that just shot himself in the head in front of people, oppressed, possessed, he still needed to be delivered. And he's dead. So at the same time, I mean, the bottom line is if you are dealing with something that is not like God, it needs to come up out of you, whether it be depression, whether it be thoughts of suicide, whatever, it needs to come about.
I don't disagree with you saying that people need to be delivered because people do. I just don't want to give people the wrong impression that, you know, I don't want to leave it with because of me being a minister. I can't just leave.
No, I understand. We don't agree on that woman of God. I mean, if we got off the line and we talked together and we actually brought scripture, we came down together and we spoke together about it, then we would come to an understanding that this is one of the biggest, to me, the tricks of the enemy is to believe that, in fact, Christians don't deal with demons. That's a lie.
No. I didn't say that. I just said that they do. But there's a difference
and I agree
between
with you,
possession
but I believe
and
that
oppression.
You can be possessed. But to me, then I guess oppression and possession, there's scripture that validates both, even from people that were Christians. So that's why I'm like, we don't agree on that.
Right.
We would have to, Nikki, Ms. Nikki, on a personal tip, we'd have to probably sit down together and talk on another level.
Ronnie, what you think? Because I haven't heard from you, and I'm quite sure you have an opinion on this.
Actually,
Ronnie?
We've lost Ronnie right now. He actually had to leave, but he'll be back hopefully before the show is out. So I apologize. But again, I don't think I quite agree with you on that point, Kristen, but I understand your point. Pam, you've been a little quiet. Do you have anything to say?
Well, I was just listening in because I know we were talking about the heart, and I know we were talking about how you put your heart heart and guard your heart from evil and from opposition or from just things that you're dealing with personally. And now we're on the topic of demon possession. So we did a big leap there. But
right.
Well, it all ties into the heart, you know what I mean? It all ties into the heart, and so we just wanted to clarify, because if you just say something, we're just not going to let it fly without expounding on this. So I respect Sister Kristen for what she said, but I don't agree with the statement that Christians can be demon possessed, they can be oppressed, but there's no evidence to suggest in the Bible
there is evidence.
Okay,
there is
Kristen,
evidence.
That's the thing.
That's why I said. But what I'm not going to do, Raz, is I'm not going to do what the Bible tells us not to do. We are not to argue the Word of God. If me and you are going to talk about it, then we'll talk about it later.
We're not arguing the Word of God, but people are listening to the show.
But we are arguing, though. You said you're not agreeing with me based on there's no proof. There is proof.
Okay, cool.
Well, that's what you just said. There is no proof. There is proof.
Okay, all right. So
with you, come out of you. What's in you will come out of you. So if a person allows envy, strife, jealousy, any murder, any of those things to come into their heart, it will act out. It will manifest itself.
I agree.
God says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. So if a person opens himself up to covet or to hate on somebody because of something they got, they want, if they allow that thing to take root into their spirit,
mm-hmm.
and it grows, it will manifest itself outwardly. Okay, that's why a person can be blotted out of the book of life. I mean, if your name is in there, it's in there. But you can be blotted out if you're not really saved, or you allow these things to come into your heart and change you. And there are going to be people out there who have this kind of darkness inside of them. They could pretend to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, but if it's in them, it's going to come out, and it may test you. It may test you to see where you are in your walk with Christ. You may have to be somebody that have to pray and intercede for that person that they get set free from that. But, when it comes to your heart, you have to be able to discern what you're dealing with when it comes to these type of spirits. And then you got to know how to respond, in a situation where you're dealing with somebody that's coveting something you want or trying to come after you and bring harm to you. You got to know how to handle that. You got to know how to plead the blood of Jesus over you and protection for yourself. And then you got to know how to pray for that person.
Absolutely.
I believe the word is the thing that helps me. When I feel I'm under attack or something, when I open up that book and I start reading, mm-hmm. it's like medicine. It's like healing. It's like instruction. It's like, okay, I feel it getting down in my spirit, and it helps me to overcome. If somebody upset me at work, that word that I've hidden in my heart, that word that I eat daily or every other day, when I get it in me, It definitely helps to bring me through whatever I'm dealing with.
Mm.
So
that's what I
can testify to. It's the word that brings life into my soul. It flows out of my belly like living rivers of living water. So that's what I run to, the word, to help me, especially when I get upset. I'm stressed out.
All right. Well, guys, if you listen to the show, we just tuned in, we're talking about the condition of your heart. The number to call us is 347-945-7310. The number again is 347-945-7310. We have a few callers here that have been kind of silent. I just want to go to see if they're brave enough to answer the phone. Call from the 909-358 area code. Are you there? Do you have a question or comment for the panel? Okay, just listening in. Caller from the 909-883 number. Do you have a question or comment for the panel?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes. So what's your name, ma'am? Where are you calling from?
Yes, my name is Arnita Williams, and I'm calling from San Bernardino, California. I thought I was just listening to the exchange that went forth, oppression, possession, I guess even depression. Perhaps it would be clearer for the audience if you explain the difference between the two.
Well, possession
means to when something has taken control of, the control of, at having control of something. Oppression is feeling weighted down by something. But possession is actually the spirit has taken control of you. Oppression is the act of the spirit attacking you, and you, you know, either way you need to be delivered. But possession is the spirit is in control. And that's why I say you cannot be a believer and be possessed, controlled by an evil spirit, because the Bible says darkness cannot dwell where the light is. You can't have two spirits, a good and a bad spirit, operating inside of you. They both can't have control, but you can be oppressed. You can have, like Paul said that he had a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what that thorn was, but that was something that he was constantly fighting against. You see what I mean? So there's the difference. That's why I didn't want to leave it to where people were confused, because it's not possible for both of the spirits to dwell in the same space. And if you look up possession and oppression in the dictionary, it'll break those two meanings down for you. So it's not possible to be possessed by a demon if you're a Christian and a believer. And like Pam just said, when you and she's referring to a scripture in Revelation, your name can be blotted out. So therefore, if you backslide, your name will be blotted out. It ain't no making it in if you backslide. It's not. You know, and in Hebrews, it talks about having the truth and walking away from it. Christ is not going to die a second time when you already know the truth. So we have to go back to Scripture.
But, Nikki, I think the problem is again, what you said kind of reframes, it contradicts what you're saying now. Because when you spoke about the chambers, I didn't even really understand this until I began to really look at Galatians 5. And the reason why I say this is because God began to talk about this different spirits that, in fact, will begin to become or can take control over the person. For example, I'll even mention myself. I was not oppressed. I was dealing with a spirit of lust so bad to the point that it was at times, even in my sleep, I would be stimulated while I was asleep. When I began to recognize what was going on, because I am a Christian and I have authority from God, I began to call hold over those spirits and tell them to get the hell behind me. But at the same time, I cannot say that when you mentioned and said that in our heart there are different chambers, there are hidden things. So there may be things you're struggling with that are ruling over your life, because why would God talk about the strongholds and he have to pull them down? There are things that rule you. You don't control. You do. You have the ability to fight against them, but at the same time, you if you're letting it rule you, it rules you.
But if something is in control of me, I don't even have the strength to fight against.
But I can't say that, though. Initially, I didn't have the strength. I'll put myself on blast. When I first started being celibate, I could barely go a week without having sex. Then I would get better. God, as Ms. Cam mentioned, as I got in my word and as I kept allowing God to reveal to me who was ruling my life, then I got 3 weeks in, and then I kept doing it, and then I got 6 weeks in. And then I kept doing it, and then I got 2 years in. But to say that that started like that at day one because I professed God as my life and my Savior, no. As you believe God, he reveals more. And that's as he says, from faith to faith to glory to glory. So all of us have dealt with spirits. Again, as you said, woman of God, and I agree with you 100%, you just have to question or check what is ruling your life. For example, even myself on the picture, I deal with a spirit of poverty. Just this recently, I had to allow God to break that stronghold in my life. So in that same regard, every one of us, if he talks about it, why would he talk about spirits? Why would he mention that if that was not something important to God? And the things that you deal with, it's mentioned.
Well, you weren't demon-possessed. You were dealing with a spirit. There's a spirit of incubus and succubus, which is a night demon that you were dealing with.
One comes in, one is dealing with the female, one's dealing with the male. That's probably what you're dealing with. And you're just saying
that is a form of oppression. It's not possession. When you know, incubus and succubus and other spirits, they've been known to oppress. But real quick, guys, I want to get to another caller. We have a caller from the 323 area code 448. Hello, caller. How you doing? Where you calling from? Caller from the 323 area code. Okay. I don't think it's a psycho. I think it's someone listening in. All right. Not a problem. Look, guys, look, we're almost coming to the end of the show. It's really getting good. We're going to have to do part two next week. And I want to go down to our panel and just thank them for coming to the show. Chris, since you've been your first time on Can We Talk, how's been your experience, man?
Oh, it's been amazing, and I can't wait for next week. I love this. I love this because I know that my God is radical and he's controversial, and I just love him. So this right here is amazing. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on the show. And Nikki, it's been a really good show tonight. What do you think tonight's topic?
I think tonight's topic was good. And like I said in the beginning, I thought that it was going to open up some things and was going to be a hot button, which we are talking about the heart, but we went in a whole another direction. And you know me, I like to do the back and forth thing anyway. So I mean, I'm looking forward to next week to part two too. And Christy, you better come with your scriptures, girl, because you know I'm gonna have mine. So y'all better tune in next week.
Yeah, Kristen, I think you're really gonna come with your scriptures because so far it's like four or five against one, and I really don't agree with you, but it's okay. Pam, good to have you on the show.
No, I wanted Dr. Nia to talk. Because Dr. Nia is from my church, so I wanted her to talk.
Oh, okay. We'll get to her in a second. Pam, thanks for being on the show. What do you think of today's topic?
I just want to say that if we just continue to set our affections on things of love, then we'll be able to overcome the desires that we have in our flesh. We're going to have desires in our flesh no matter as long as we're living in this earth and we're human and we have feelings and emotions. We're going to continue to have those feelings and emotions, but we just need to keep them under control and constantly renew our mind through staying in the Word, staying around, you know, positive people to help keep us accountable, keep us focusing on our destiny. And I think that we'll be able to stay strong and help other people come into the kingdom and be strong, too, for the Lord.
Absolutely. And I want to say thank you for the guest that came on. I believe she's from your church, Kristen. And who are you, ma'am?
It's Dr. Anita.
Dr. Anita, okay. Is she on the, Dr. Anita, you there? Okay, we lost her. All right, guys, I guess that's it. I do believe the scriptures calls us to shield ourselves from the presence of evil and darkness, and we should look straight ahead and fix our gaze directly on our Savior and not allow sin to creep into our vision, hearing, and therefore our heart. So, guys, it will behoove you to definitely guard your heart. As the show says, the condition of your heart will control the course of your life. So, guys, thanks for tuning into Can We Talk Radio. Tune in same time next week where we do part two and prove Kristen wrong that demons cannot possess Christians. No, I think it's serious because people are listening and they need to know what we'll do. So, but anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Can We Talk? Have a blessed weekend. Peace.
We ride on 25. You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down, swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Everyone from 24s, every crib got 50 foes. Don't get nervous, paying top, finally paid off. You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down, swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Everyone from 24s, every crib got 50 foes. Don't get nervous, paying top, finally paid off. We ride on 24, we let them people know. Keep that name on low. Deep in switching lane. Both me and their rest of name. Real don't play no game. See someone on the chain. Standing and riding high. Stream Jesus when I'm riding by. Where you gonna be when you die? I'ma be in the sky. We ride on 24. Don't have to sell no drugs. Music to get that blow. Peace of gospel to the pros. Cadillac on. Maybach on. Billy Coop on. Share the hoop on. Drop them, then they give away. Why cause God say give away? More I give away, I got more coming back to me. You give, you plenty more. Get the grill with plenty doors. Stacked up with plenty flow. Don't forget to thank the Lord. Life with
ride on 24. I'm fading. I got the TV screens falling down. It's Mr. Dale from the M-Town. Behind the limo 10 and I'm sitting sideways. I would brag on the rhyme, but the Christ paid for the 10 wood, boy, you know I look good. Remote control, got it picking like a Fleetwood. Shorty, I'm so hood, yes, we do it real big. I ride slow for my kids, folks and little kids. They say he's so rich, I say I'm so blessed. No slang gay, but I stay dope, boy, fresh. I blow a tree,